If you would, grab your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue our through the Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of all the things in creation that God made, I think there's several things I look at and I think, man, that speaks of His glory. That speaks of God's creativity and all His greatness. I think that's one of the reasons I like scuba diving, is because you go in the ocean and you see what God has created that a lot of humanity never gets to see. And the undersea world is one of the most beautiful. Little critters down there and creatures that you can't believe. I think when I look into the stars and see the sky at night, I think, oh man, God is incredible. And all creation shouts of His glory. I see that. I believe that. But also as we look at our own bodies and how they function, it's pretty incredible when you think about what your body does and how capable it is. And to think that we just evolved from goo to you, I think that's lunacy. It's lunacy. How did just by coincidence your stomach know that it needed to handle things like McDonald's? I mean, that's just God and grace. You know what I mean? Did you know your stomach lining is incredible? Because the gastric juices, they're the acidic juices that are in your stomach that starts that digestive process. They've done tests on this stuff. It can melt down just about anything. It's super powerful. They've even taken zinc and been able to have zinc dissolve just by the acidity in your stomach. It's pretty incredible. And the big mystery is, how does your stomach lining, if zinc and steel and stuff like that can be dissolved by your stomach's acids, how does your stomach lining handle that? I'll tell you, God made it really incredible. The cells that line your stomach reproduce so quickly that they, before they have a chance to dissolve in your gastric stomach lining, or stomach, the lining reproduces itself so quickly, it's always new. That's the impressive thing. And do you think that just, what a coincidence we evolved and our stomach handles that? No, that's God's amazing creative ability to make our bodies function. That's just one little thing. Your bones. You have 206 bones in your body. Did you know that when you were born, you had more than 300? Probably 300 to 350 bones that you had when you were born. You say, well, what happened to my bones? If you have 206 now, I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing. When you were born, you had 300 plus bones. And then as you were born, then your bones began to fuse together and two bones became one. And that's an impressive part. And moms are thankful for that. There's a reason babies are very flexible and like rubbery when they come out. With 350 bones, it's a little easier for birth and stuff like that. And we're glad about that. Even the skull is several bones together, and then eventually they will fuse together. And that's just God's knowing ability and His creative ability, making the body function and work. Your bones are stronger than steel. It's amazing. Pound for pound, your bones are stronger than steel. In fact, they're three times stronger than concrete. If you took your bone and made a chunk of bone the size of a matchbox, you can put 9 tons of weight on that before it will crush your bone. That's how strong bones are, pound for pound. It's incredible, the body that God has given to us. But here's the thing. You know how this goes. Your body, when everything's good, it's really good, man. You just think you feel good. You can do things. But have you ever noticed when one little thing goes wrong, like a little virus enters your body for the flu, how miserable your whole body feels and how you just think, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, it's amazing how your body, and then your body fights that flu off, and God has made it so that you can get back to health and revive and be healed. That's just God's way of the human body. It's incredible. Now, here's the thing. We're supposed to consider that, your human body and the intricacies and the way it all works together, and how if you didn't have certain parts of your body functioning, then the other parts of the body won't function as well either. We are supposed to consider that according to God's word, because Paul the Apostle to the church at Corinth, he's going to give us a massive admonition today. In 1 Corinthians 12, he's going to talk about the body of Christ, and he's going to compare it to your body and my body, and he's going to use it for an analogy, how our body functions, how it works together. And when it works together, how glorious it is. But when it's not working together, how embarrassing and how painful it is. You see, the problem with the Corinthian church, they get a big D minus. a D minus? Yeah, because if you remember, they were a disgusting church. Disgusting? Yeah, remember there was incest going on in their church. Paul had to correct that. There was all kinds of problems. Not only was it a disgusting church, but it was a divided church. They didn't get along. It was disgusting. It was divided. And also, it was a depraved church. They were, the depravity in the church, sexual immorality. But also, remember we learned last week with communion, the Lord's table, they were drinking so much they'd start getting drunk with the wine of the communion table. The rich people would get the better food than the poor people in the church at Corinth. They were pushing their way into line to see who could get there first to have the food. It was a pathetic, disgusting church that was divided and it was depraved, and thus they get a D minus, maybe even an F, in Paul's book. And Paul said last Wednesday night as we were studying, he says, I praise you not, Corinthians, because you're messed up, tweaked out, twisted. So 1 Corinthians, the letter that we're reading here, the studying, it's a corrective letter, a little bit of a spanking for the church at Corinth. And he's given all kinds of words. Now, here's the thing. Of all those sins that we've been talking about, the sexual immorality and the all that stuff, the thing that he mentioned first, if you recall in chapter 1, Paul said, I remember hearing from the house of Chloe, he said, that the church there in Corinth is divided. And the word is schism. There's schisms, divisions, problems. People aren't getting along in the church at Corinth. He mentioned that in a brief mention there in chapter 1. We've seen it pop up throughout the letter. But now he's going to say, here's what you need to do to remedy the problem of division in the church. The schisms that take place. And he goes to this analogy, the body. Even as your body is one body, you have a nose, you have a couple ears, hopefully. You got a couple eyeballs, you got, you know, knees and feet and hands and all that stuff. They function together, and that's the analogy he's going to give to us. And let's take a look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin right there in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. And there we read, it says, for as the body is one, and all, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now pause just for a second there. I love it. He's saying, man, we're people from different races. We're from different leanings in life and economic backgrounds and rich, poor. The one thing that the body of Christ, that I love about the body of Christ, is it's supposed to be diverse. And not divided, but diverse. People from different walks, different personalities, different races. I think that our church, man, I like how we've got young and old. We've got different people from different places and different personalities. That makes us a better church. I hope that we see more and more of that kind of the best sense of diversity. The world talks about diversity, and I'm not sure they really know what good diversity looks like. But to me, the body of Christ, that's awesome diversity because we're all so different. And, you know, there's people in this room that unless you were a Christian and you were around the cross of Christ, if you weren't a Christian and some of you guys hooked up elsewhere, you'd beat each other up. You come from different things. You wouldn't get along. But what's so beautiful is how the body of Christ, we come together from different places and different personalities and we like each other. Why? It's because we know we're all sinners. Nobody's better than anybody else, and that's why we're here. If you're a Christian here in the church, that means you've said, I'm a huge honking sinner, and I'm no better than anybody else in this room. And I need to be saved from my own self, from my own sins. And so we circle ourselves around Jesus Christ, and that's our commonality, that we've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and we get arm in arm and say, man, aren't you glad you're saved? Yeah, I'm me too. And that's why we're buddies. That's why we're friends here at Athey Creek. And what's so cool is that like-mindedness, that unity, it comes from Christ. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, man, you guys, Jew or Greek, that's kind of a racial thing. It's also a sort of a religious thing or non-religious. He says, man, you guys all came together into one body, baptized together, bond or free, you know, you've all drank of the same spiritual drink. Verse 14. He gets even more, this is where I think Paul starts cracking me up a little bit. I think he's using humor here. Sometimes it's hard to hear in the King James, but just in your mind's eye, listen to what Paul says, and it's kind of a chuckle. I think Paul's purposefully being a little bit sarcastic with these people who are all divided in their church. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 14, he says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, or just a big ear, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Now pause there for a second. I like what he's saying. What if the body was just one big eyeball? Man, we don't want that. We'll talk about that. There are churches that are one big eyeball. I think there's big nose churches. I'll tell you about that. There's also people that should be part of a complete body, like yourselves. You're many members, like Paul says, but we're one body, but you're different parts of the body. Now, if you're a person like, you know, those people who say, "Oh, I don't need church. Church is just, you know, something that's unnecessary. I don't like organized religion." Well, here's the thing. A couple things on that. Like I always say, if you don't like organized religion, then Athey Creek's the church for you. We are not organized. As you can see, man, we never start on time and we're always lost. And so, hey, welcome to our church. Unorganized. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, but you're a preacher and everybody's sitting there listening to you. I don't like that. Well, what you're saying is you are a sinner who's rebelling against the Bible. You don't like what the Bible says. And the Bible says, don't forsake, Hebrews 10 tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because you are called by the Bible to be part of a body. Otherwise, you're the lone ranger Christian who's off by yourself. Now, what does that look like? Well, according to Paul's analogy, if let's say you're a nose or an ear or a thumb or something like that, and you don't like being part of the body, then guess what? You're just a nose or an ear or a thumb laying on the ground somewhere by yourself. We call that a horror movie. So if you're, "I don't like organized religion," then you're just a nose laying off by yourself. And you might be saved and you might go to heaven by the grace of God, because going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But you're living in sin and you're rebelling against what the Bible says and what Paul is telling us, that you and I are many members and we're supposed to be connected one to another. If you reject that, then you're rejecting the Bible and you're living in sin. Just a little freebie for you there. Don't be the Lone Ranger Christian. You say, "Brett, we're here. We're at church." Two things on that. One, just because we're here doesn't mean we're really connected. We got to be careful on that one. And then two, there's people listening on the radio and maybe a Ustream who are saying, "Yeah, we don't need to go to church. We'll just watch you online." By the way, the online thing is cool. If you want to watch it, if you're sick or got the flu and you can't go to church, but that will not replace being at church. I hope you know that. That's important. So you Ustreamers. We got you. We know. We know who you are. But no, that's great. I'm glad you're watching. But make sure you plug into church. You got to be plugged in. Go. It's different being here than just watching. Amen? Amen? Amen. How many of you guys have been sick and used Ustream and watched it while you're gone? See, that's awesome. I'm glad about that. It's a handy tool. It really is. And we're praying for you guys that either you're sick and you need to be healed, or you need to get to church. So being disconnected from the body is a horror film. But also, this might start to make some of you a little nervous, because you're like, okay, so if we're members of the body, parts of a body of Jesus Christ, what part am I? See, that's the big question I would raise with each one of you today. What part of the body are you? And you're like, "Brett, I'm afraid I'm an armpit. Or I'm a belly button. Or a big toe." See, here's the thing. Your body, each part of the body, plays a necessary role. And even the parts that are unseemly, the part that we like to cover up. You say, "What are you talking about, Brett?" Paul's going to go there. He's going to go there. And we'll see. But I want you to notice the last verse that we just read, before we move on. In verse 18, it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So no matter what part of the body you are, it pleases God that you're that part of the body. Oh, Brad, I don't like that. I want to be the nose up front where everybody sees. I like to be the mouth. I want to be heard. Or I'm an ear. I'm up in front where everybody sees and I hear everything. Or, you know, there's some really cool things I want to be, but I don't like being the pinky toe. Why am I the pinky toe? God sets you in whatever place you are, whoever you are, for a purpose, and it pleased him. You say, well, Brett, that's just not cool, man. Listen, when you get to heaven, I believe the parts of the body that are more hidden, that are not up front and seen in the church, there's a reward waiting for those who faithfully carry out their role in the body that may not be seen. It might have been covered up by a shoe or whatever. But when you get to heaven, those rewards will come out. And the Bible teaches that those that are out in front and seen, if you meld together things Jesus said with this thing Paul's saying about the body that's outward and the seemly parts, as he's going to call it, versus the unseemly part, the parts that we cover up, he's going to say, Jesus would say, those that are heard and seen now, and people pat them on the back and say, man, you're wonderful, you're awesome, then guess what? That's your reward. You've received your reward on earth and not going to get it as much in heaven. So there's this thought, well, Billy Graham, man, he's led so many people to the Lord, he's going to be so close to the throne, and I'm going to be miles away from the throne looking through binoculars going, oh, I think I see Billy Graham. But that's not the truth. And most pastors and people that are up in front, they get their reward by and large on this earth during this time, people patting them on the back. It's the person that's doing the things that nobody sees that I think are going to be rewarded greatly in heaven. Like that, you know, the Billy Graham Association, yeah, a lot of people have been led to Christ through that. But I love that story of that lady that nobody even knew about for years. The little old lady that worked hard at a job, saved her pennies so that every Billy Graham crusade all over the nation, she would fly to those cities. She would check into a Motel 6 and she would go to her knees during the whole crusade. She wasn't even in the stadium. She didn't tell anybody what she was doing, but she'd go to her knees in that little room and she would pray for Billy and for the association and pray that people would be saved. Nobody even knew that forever. And so I believe that's the lady we're going to be looking through the binoculars going, who's that lady by Jesus on the throne in heaven? Because she did it secretly right up until I just blew it for her and told everybody. So sorry about that. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord has his ways of rewarding, doesn't he? So even if you're not one of those parts of the body that's out in front or seen or people giving all kinds of accolades, it's okay. It all comes out in the wash in the end. And you'll be glad if you just serve your role faithfully. Whoever you are, it pleases God to put you in that role. Verse 19, it says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. In other words, the parts of the body that are lesser than your head or your nose or your eyes, you still need a hand. You still need a foot. And if you don't have a foot, your head's not going to be as effective without a foot. He's saying you got to work together as a body. Verse 23, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, you're going to sense a shift. He's been talking about this analogy of the body and body parts. But now you're going to start hearing a little more talking about the body of Christ. People, members in the body and how they're to function. He kind of shifts gears and he says, verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Man, this is great stuff. I love how just basic an analogy it is. He's just saying, you're the body of Christ. And he ends it saying, if one of the members of the body are hurting, the rest of the body comes to its aid. You know how that is. If you're swinging a hammer and you hit your thumb with a hammer, what does your body do? Does this, you swung the hammer with your right hand, you hit your left hand, does your right hand say, "Oh, my bad," and this hand, "You idiot"? Is that what your hand and body is? No. What actually happens is your thumb is throbbing, this hand quickly goes to the aid and hugs this poor thumb. Oh, and your lips, oh, and your head's going, ouch. And the whole body, even a tear duct starts chiming in, man. The whole body hurts for your poor little thumb. You're not at odds with your body, even though, you know, that this hand did the deed. No, your body comes together. Now, back in 40 years ago, I think it was Chuck Gerard or somebody, you older Christians that have been around for a while, you might remember. Does anybody remember the song, how's it go? Don't shoot the wounded. Christians are the only ones who shoot their wounded. It was kind of a funny, goofy song, but it was actually kind of true. People in the church, if we're not careful, if we act like some churches in times past, you know, somebody in the body does some sinful thing that hurts them really bad and their lives is kind of a mess. And other church people go, "Oh, can't believe you did that." And they speak and gossip and talk about them and do that. Man, that's just a body that's not working, not functioning correctly. But actually, when somebody messes up or if somebody's hurting in the church, what's the proper response? It's the response that our bodies do when we hit our thumb with a hammer. You come around that person and you assist in every way possible that person and restore them back to health. And you bandage them up and you care for them, and the rest of the body does a little more work because this thumb's not going to work as good for a while. So this thumb does a little twice the work that thumb did. You know what I'm talking about. That's the way your body functions. That's the kind of analogy Paul is using here for the church body, that we're to be together, not divided, not in schism, but rather that we're together working as a functioning, healthy body. He says, don't you know that you are bodies, the body of Christ, members in particular? Now, if we really believe that, which we're supposed to according to the Bible, my question for you is simple. What part of the body are you and how are you doing? Are you functioning well? Are you a part of the church body? Or are you a Lone Ranger body horror film where you're just sitting off on some ditch somewhere as a nose? I hope that you're not. I hope you're connected to the body. And specifically, I would believe that the body of Christ, that's whatever church you're plugged into. It's part of the body that you're to be connected to. Now, if you say, "Brett, I'm not connected to Athey Creek," and if you're one of those people that bounce around from church to church and kind of church hop and stuff, that's not a healthy thing. They're actually starting to do that now medically with bodies. They're giving faces to people and changing noses and things like that. But that's not the way you really want to live. I would say as a Christian, you need to connect yourself. If it's not this church, if it's not Athey Creek, then I would encourage you to find a church where you really can connect yourself to and be a functioning part assisting the body of Christ. That's what we are called to do. How are you doing on that? Are you connected here at Athey Creek to where you know people and you're known? If you don't show up at church, do people actually miss you? Or could you be gone for 6 months and somebody would say, "Hey, have you seen that person lately? 6 months? No." If you're one of those people, it's time to get connected to a body. Be plugged in. You see, I believe there's healthy body life for a church. And maybe to carry this analogy to even ridiculous levels, I want to give you three things to consider as far as the body of Christ. First of all, let's consider what you eat. Isn't it true with your own body? What you eat will greatly affect how your body performs. If all you eat is cotton candy for weeks and weeks and weeks, what's that going to do for you? Are you going to be a healthy body that's ready to get busy? Ready to work? Ready to do? What if you're like the dude that did the movie, what was that movie about the guy that ate at McDonald's? I don't know what's wrong with him. I've done that before. I felt great. I don't know. I may not have been as healthy as I should have been, but that guy is a wimp. Now, here's the thing. McDonald's, junk food, eventually it catches up to you. Man, you can't be in shape. And this is something I know about as a guy that, you know, struggles and tries to lose weight. I've gained and lost 100 pounds a couple times in my life. And it's a struggle, I'll admit it. But spiritually, we've got to be even more careful with that than we even do physically, I think. to spiritually say, how is our body of Christ functioning? And the first question I was asked is, what do you eat? See, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to eat. When you're a brand new Christian, the Bible tells us that you're to have the milk. What, the milk of the Word, just like a brand new baby. You know what I'm talking about, the milk. See, milk is healthy for a newborn. And yet then after the milk, which is, by the way, the gospel, that's where we preach the gospel here at Athey Creek. In fact, every Sunday, I share how Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave, and he said that if you believe in him and that work of the cross, that he died and he rose from the grave, proving he was who he claimed to be, by raising up from the dead. And people that say, man, I'm a sinner and I need the saving work of Christ. And so you confess that and you believe it in your heart. The Bible says you're saved. You're a Christian. Man, I sneak that into every sermon I ever preach. And if I don't sneak it in, you come up to me after church and say, you didn't bring the gospel in today, Brett. I deserve to be corrected if I don't bring the gospel in. There's always got to be milk. And by the way, I like milk with everything. Everything. I don't know about you guys. Some people like wine with their steak. Man, give me milk. And enough like a good old glass of milk. Oreo cookies, milk. You know, I drive down there and see Got Milk, and I'm like, oh, yes, where's the store? I need milk. I love milk. But, the Bible says there's a point where a church body needs to move on from just the milk, still having the milk, but then you got to move on to what? The meat. You got to start eating meat, and the meat is the doctrine, the scriptures, the Bible, what the Bible teaches us. And you move from just the gospel message, keeping that as a forefront. You always got the milk, but then you also need to bring the meat in. And that's where churches are malnourished, I believe, perhaps more than any other way. They're not getting a steady diet of the meat of God's Word. We've got to have the meat. That's why at Athey Creek, we're committed to going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Bible. It's the weightiness of what we do here at Athey Creek. I'm so sad because the church is in a weakened condition. There's a lot of bodies, if you would, around even Portland because they're not getting into the Word. They're talking about how to balance your checkbook and how to, you know, be regular. They're talking about how to 10 points or 10 weeks on how to have a nice family and all that. Nice topics, nice things like that. But these little sermonettes become Christianettes. That's all they are. These little people that are unhealthy. You got to get the steady diet of the Word of God. That's important. Huge. Huge. So you got to eat the meat. By the way, there's a third that I believe that we see in the Bible of the analogies. Not just the milk, not just the meat, but also the manna. That's number three. The manna was that daily food that they would eat there in the wilderness, and it was God-given. And it was specific to those people. They'd gather up just enough for that day. Because if they gathered up for more than a day, they say, hey, let's just get 3 weeks worth of manna. Remember, it would start to breed worms. So they said, man, we gotta just get a day's worth of manna, chow down. Except for the day before the Sabbath, they'd gather 2 days worth and God would preserve it. But that's a beautiful analogy of the daily food that I believe you and I as the body of Christ should have. We should eat not just a big, huge meal once in a while. That's one of my problems, by the way, health-wise, just physically. I'm one of those guys, I get so busy. I love being busy, I like doing a lot of stuff, but I get so busy, I don't have time to eat. So what happens is, I go and I start getting real hungry, and I get so hungry to the point I go get something to eat, and I'll eat 4,000 calories in just one sitting. And then that's it. That's the worst way. Anybody who tries to lose weight, you know that's not the way you do it. You gotta spread the love. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You got to have like 6 or 8 meals a day that are like 100 calories and spread it out. You say, Brett, why are we getting a diet lesson today? Because I see analogy after analogy. See, there's Christians that gorge out every Sunday morning. Let's get a meal. Hurrah, rah, rah. And here we are Sunday morning chowing down on some scripture. Good for you. Problem is, you can't do it that way. How would your body handle it if you said, you know what, Sunday morning I'm going to eat a big fat meal, but then I'll wait till next Sunday to get my next meal. You're going to be pretty hungry by next Sunday. If you want, you can try that if you don't believe me. So what's my point? You see, Sunday morning in the Word with old Pastor Brett is not enough. I believe you should have a daily diet of the Word and get some energy. Fuel up daily. You know, I think every morning, you know, a morning devotion is huge. For a person who wants to walk with the Lord, I don't even know how a person can do it without getting in the Word daily. That's just something you gotta do. Here's this love letter God gives to us. He says, I want to meet you daily. And it's morning by morning, new mercies we see. His mercies are new every morning. There's something about those who seek me early in the morning will find me. So if you set your alarm 5 or 10 minutes earlier and say, I'm just going to read. Well, Brett, I don't understand everything I'm reading. Well, when you get your breakfast in the morning, do you understand all the dynamics and meanings of the food that you're eating and what it's doing in your body? Some of you say, yeah, I do. Yeah, you're a health food nut. Good for you. Most of us eat our food happily and don't care what it really is full of, but it's fuel for us, right? It's fuel. In the same way, you may not understand the whole Bible and get it all down right now, but as you eat of the Word, it's going to fuel you up for the day. And I believe there's power. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Why wouldn't we want to devote time to the Scriptures on a daily basis? How's your diet? Because guess what? If you're weak because you're not reading the Scripture, you affect the whole body of Christ. We need strong members at Athey Creek. People that are in shape, in good food condition, to eat it up. Eating up of the Word of God. That's a challenge for you. If you're not doing morning devotions in the Word, my challenge is to start. And don't make a big deal out of it. Don't get worried about reading 20 chapters a day or any of that. Just start small. And the Lord will bless that. You mark my words. As you get in the Word daily, it will affect your life every day. Spread out the meals, if you would. And that's why I like Wednesday night Bible study. I need a good family meal about midweek. That's why I like Wednesday nights, coming together. We get in and take another big Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday night and then be ready for next Sunday, that kind of thing. So check it out. What are you eating? How's your diet? That's the first question we ask this morning about the church body. Are you eating right? Pastors, by the way, are responsible to feed the flock. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says to the elders of the church, Peter says, I exhort you elders, who I'm also an elder. He says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. See, pastors are to feed their flocks. And we try to do that as best as we can here at Athey Creek. Give us some meat to chew on, give us some milk, and give us some manna. That's the key. So number one, are you eating right? How's your diet? Number two, as a church body, are we getting plenty of exercise? That's what you would ask yourself. Am I in shape? Let's see, am I eating right? And I'm getting plenty of exercise. I believe there's a lot of churches that maybe they take it in a good way where they are eating good meals, sermons or preaching or teaching, and they're eating it up and that's good. But a lot of times churches can stop with that. And you know how that looks. If a person doesn't do any physical exercise, man, you feel gross. That's something, you know, while I struggle eating healthy sometimes, literally, but I've always loved doing physical things. I love getting out and doing stuff, hiking and motocross and doing, you know, just doing sports. I love that stuff because it just feels good to get out and do stuff. But when you don't, have you ever gone for several days where you never really did anything physical and you just kind of feel gross? I think there's a bunch of churches that sit in their little pews or chairs and they eat and eat and they're like Jabba the Hutt and they're like rah rah and they're spiritually constipated, man. It's ugly. It's ugly. You see, we're not just eating so that we can get fat. We're eating for fuel spiritually. We're taking and teaching the meat and the milk of the Word so that we can go and do whatever God has called us to do, whatever He's called us to be. And man, how important is that to move? What part of the body are you? If you're a nose, start smelling. If you're a hand, start doing. If you're an ear, start listening. You say, Brett, what are you talking about, the hand? Well, that's what Paul talks about. These members of the body, they're supposed to function in their role together with the other parts of the body. But if a body just sits stagnant and does nothing, they're just going to sit around and get flabby. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. I love the members of this church that I see daily functioning in their roles. We've got people that are hands. We got people that are hands. I would liken that to we got guys in our church who are auto mechanics, you know, and they call me up and say, Brett, if there's a single gal in the church who just doesn't have a husband and she's just struggling to make ends meet, and if you know of anything where she needs her car fixed, just give us a call. And we've done that. We've shot these gals over to a couple guys in our church that do this, and man, they fix the car for free. It's just an awesome way to see the body ministering to the rest of the body. And it's so beautiful. We see these women who are just waiting to cook up some meals for people who are hurting just fresh out of the hospital or, you know, whatever. And they come home and they got all these great meals. We got people that do that. We got deacons and elders and pastors that are just running around helping keep this place ready for worship, ready to be conducive for worship, for prayer, for communion, for the study of God's word. Man, there's people that are doing, there's hands. By the way, there's also noses. Smelling out the things that need attention. The best sense of that word is discernment. You got a nose to know kind of where someone needs to be either corrected or encouraged, or, you know, there's just people that kind of have an ability to smell out a situation. There's people that have eyes to see what God is doing and to see where we need to be going. There's feet that go out into all the world and preach the gospel. We got missionaries like Tad and Marna, Randy and Elisa out in Uganda. We got people all over the world. We got missionaries all over the world in Brazil and so many places. It's just amazing to see how we got feet in the congregation that go out. I love that. Now let me just say something about that. You see, this idea of hands and feet and all that, there's something to consider about that Paul mentions. We'll get into that in a second about what if the church is just one big eyeball? Remember he said that. So what does that mean? We'll get to that in a second. But the fact is, the church itself is a body and we all move in our functions. And how are you doing? What part of the body are you? Are you one of the meal cookers? Are you a worship leader? Are you one who is an evangelist, the feet going out and sharing the gospel to people all over Portland? You know, we're one of the most unchurched cities in America. We're in the bottom three cities in America for people who are Christians and people who are plugged into churches. And we need feet to go out. We need hands to do. What part are you? What role are you playing at Athey Creek as this body functions and moves? And if you can't think of anything, I would encourage you to pray and say, Lord, what's my role? What's my part? And start moving in that. Being active. It's a tricky thing for me because some of the things are external where the body reaches out and affects the world around us. But there's a lot of roles that people play at Athey Creek that are internal. So when the hammer is hit on the thumb, there's people in our body who comes around those people who are hurting. And I love those people. I love that role that the body of Christ plays and meets people's needs. Now I'm going to confess something. There's times where I feel like Athey Creek blows it out and we take care of people's needs in a really beautiful way. There's other times where I feel like we fail in that. And it's an interesting thing because one moment, like just even last week, a woman came up to me and I knew she was in a little trouble. I knew we'd helped her, but people in the body took it and just ran with it. And I felt good because I knew people were taking care of it. But she came up and said, Brett, you don't even know. I've gone to 20 churches over my life, and I've never seen so much care and love from a church body. And she told me how, you know, people gave her money to keep the electricity on, and the church helped pay her rent because she was in a real downtime. And somebody came and fixed her roof, and there was a guy stalking her, and the guys kind of took care of that guy. And it was all pretty, pretty cool. It was pretty cool. You don't want to mess with Athey Creek on that level. But you know what's so cool about that is that just does my heart good. And I think Athey Creek does a good job generally on that. But I also know there's people that slip through the cracks and there's people who we may not even know. And so that's a problem. You got to communicate. If you're hurting, if you just got hit with a hammer and you're throbbing, man, let the other hand know. Let the body know that, man, you need help. And we'll try our best to come around you. But let me just tell you something. People make a mistake. And Athey Creek, I think, sometimes makes this mistake where we think as a church, that's what the church staff is for. The reason you hire people to come on staff at a church is to take care of the needs of the body. And I'm just going to tell you, that's not true. That's not right. It's not even biblically sound. You see, the church staff does do some of that, and we try our best. But honestly, the 15 people that we have on staff, I mean, we're one of the biggest churches with a tiny little staff. More than 2,000 people go to this church. We have 15 people on staff. And honestly, they're just busy trying to keep this place ready for worship, keeping our kids cared for and loved on in the nursery and in the preschool and the grade school. We got staff members to help with this and that, and they're running hard. But to be able to care for all the needs in this whole congregation, that's an impossibility. And the church makes a mistake when they think that the staff is supposed to come around the hurting people only. What we need is all of us to see our role, you included. What is my role at Athey Creek? How I can chip in, love on, care for, and be a part of a body of believers. And man, I believe the Lord's causing us to enter into a new season right now as a church. And I hope that you'll follow along with me. And that is a season where we recognize our role as a church body. And maybe the staff can help get us organized to where we know when people need to reach out and help and plug in. I think home groups and small groups are going to be a big part of that. As in this fall, we're going to start up some kind of a new effort on some home groups. I think it's going to be huge and important so that we know what's going on in the body, that we're plugged in smaller groups. That's huge, huge. But as we're praying about that as a church corporately, I hope you're praying about that individually. So, you got to ask, am I eating right? Am I getting plenty of exercise? Or are you just sitting around getting fat and lazy? We don't want to see fat and lazy noses. Now, the final question that I want to ask, not only are you eating right and are you getting plenty of exercise, but thirdly, the question I want to ask is, are we getting more and more coordinated or are we more and more clumsy? See, one of the things you work on when you're an athlete is you try to hone in on your skills. Paul likens the body of Christ to athletes all the time. He uses the Greek word athleo over and over again because Paul liked to use the analogy of honing in and running the race to win the prize and getting better at the skills that we have. I think that needs to happen not only individually but as a church. Are we all thumbs? Uncoordinated people as our body of Christ. What do you mean, Brett? Tripping over each other, bumping into each other, hurting ourselves, cutting ourselves. You know people like that, accident-prone people. We all know who they are. Sadly, I see the body of Christ sometimes acting that way. Ooh, cut myself. Blood spurting. Why? Because the church is brutal. We're klutzy with each other. We lash out at each other. We're divided. We trip over our own feet. And I believe we need to work on getting more coordinated. When I was in high school, I played football and I was a linebacker. The guy on third string linebacker behind me, good friend of mine, felt kind of bad for him though because he was all feet. He had these big old feet and he was kind of clumsy and skinny and scrawny. But he just wanted to play football. He loved football. And so we just kind of humored him. I felt bad. One time we were practicing out, you know, and they made us line up against linebacker to linebacker and we were doing these drills. And I hit him once and broke three of his ribs. I felt really bad, you know. End of his season, the junior year for him. But we were still friends even after I broke his ribs. But the thing is, like 4 or 5 years later, after I was long out of high school, I remember watching a football game on TV, Oregon State against somebody, I forget. And my buddy, I didn't realize it, but I thought, what a coincidence. That fullback's got the same name as my friend in high school. Come to find out, it was him. Something had happened. This uncoordinated, goofy guy that I thought had no business playing football, and I felt kind of bad for him. Now, what happened after he graduated from high school? He's one of those late bloomers. You guys know those guys that suddenly kind of grow into their bodies, and suddenly he becomes a stud athlete, and he was big and ripped and quick. And it was amazing to watch this transformation. And I think that the church body is oftentimes kind of clumsy and big-footed, and we kind of have no business even acting like we know what we're doing. Athey Creek's been that way, but I also wonder if the Lord would say it's time to kind of grow up and mature into the body of Christ as a church. And I believe the Lord has great things in store for this fellowship, especially if we can learn how to coordinate ourselves and make the feet work with the feet and our hands work with the hand and be careful. One thing I have to say is this congregation has been nothing but a blessing to me. I've seen churches divided and arguing and angry and upset about things. I've heard stories of divided churches like here in Corinth, but even here in Portland. Churches that have split over stupid, silly things. Schisms, as it's called here. There's a church down in Reading. Years ago, I remember hearing about it. They were a big, thriving church, kind of like this one. Things were going great, right up until their committee had to come up with what color of carpet to put in the sanctuary. I'm not kidding you, this church divided and split. A huge church split right down the middle. Half the people wanted blue, the other people wanted purple, or whatever. I would have sided with the blue side, but no, I'm just kidding. But the thing is, I mean, how stupid can it get to divide over something so silly? So what do you do? Well, I think you have to be, well, really what Paul told us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing through strife or vainglory, but let everyone esteem others better than themselves. Have the mind of Christ. Made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant." See, this idea of like-mindedness, being of one accord, of one mind, that's a body that's functioning and moving in unison. A lot of people say, yeah, the body, we need to flow together, we're a melting pot. No, we're a stew. There's a difference. The melting pot, we all melt together and become the same. That's not what the church is. That's when the church gets into trouble. If I'm an eyeball and I start telling the nose, you need to be an eyeball. You need to be like me and see what's going on in the church. Open your eyes. And we come down on each other. And maybe there's a person who's evangelistic and they love to share the gospel. And they're the feet going out into all the world. But the hand saying, stop witnessing and come and help us do stuff at church. And that causes schisms and division. What we need to do is say everybody functions differently and we are a stew, a different mix of people doing different things. I'm glad about that. The church is not just a big fat hand. Do. Have you ever seen a church like that? There's no other things going on in that church except we're going to do stuff for the kingdom. We're going to do. And man, you just get pooped thinking of all the things you got to do. No, there's hands in the church that are going to be the doers. And God's blessed them with that. There's other churches that are just feet, big old fat feet. That's all the church is. It's all about evangelism. And man, they're not studying the Bible. There's no basis in doctrine and food and meat that they're getting, but they're big evangelism. No, evangelism is important and essential, but there's some people that are called more to that than others. Remember I told you about the nose? What if a church is a big nose? Because I told you that that's the person that has discernment. He can smell out a situation. But in a wrong context, you know what that becomes? The big nose church. Have you ever seen a big nose church? That's the sin-sniffing church. The fault-finding church, where if you walk in, they're looking at you and they're measuring you up and saying, I smell sin. Sin sniffer. Fault finder. It's a legalism church. Have you ever seen a church like this? Anybody? Yeah, you've been there. You've seen them. It's painful. We don't want a big fat nose church. We need the noses, but it's a little nose that we want. Not a Brett nose, a little nose in the church. We need eyeballs to see. We need ears to hear, but we need to function in unison. That's what Paul is calling for. And he's giving these words pretty strongly in kind of a humorous fashion to the church. So it's about balance. It's about balance. All that to say, that's the challenge today. It's real simple. What would the Lord have you to do? Are you plugged in at Athey Creek? If you can't get plugged in here, like I said, maybe for some of you it's finding a smaller church that you really know everybody and you're missed and you can find a niche more there. Maybe that's for some. There's blessings also of the bigger church where there's more resources and more people to kind of plug in with. And there's blessings both the small and the big churches. But whatever it is, find a place where you can plug in and be a part of the body that functions. And man, the Lord's going to bless that. That's what he wants for the church of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want division. He doesn't want weirdness. He wants unity. So may the Lord give us ears to hear, noses to smell, mouths to speak, eyes to see, feet to go, hands to do, all of those things in a perfect balance at Athey Creek. Amen? And Lord, we do pray your blessing on this fellowship. We know that we're sometimes uncoordinated. Sometimes, Lord, we've let our body parts even grow sort of atrophied. And we've not exercised in a way that we should. We've even eaten junk food as we take in stuff into our souls. It's not even really good for the church body. But I pray that all of us in this room would be cognizant of the fact that we are functioning as a body and that we want to be healthy and strong and usable, Lord. We know ultimately your son Jesus is the head of this body. And I pray that your mind, Lord, would be in our hearts and that you would direct us, that your will would be done in the body of Christ at Athey Creek. Forgive us, Lord, for being people who are Lone Ranger Christians off to ourselves. I pray for those that have that propensity. I pray that they would move on from that immaturity and realize that they need to be plugged in and part of an imperfect body. But, Lord, may they choose to be joined. Help us to mature, grow, be strong, we pray. I pray if there's anybody in this room, Lord, that may not really know you personally, that you'd save their souls, that their sins would be forgiven, they could walk out of this room knowing by your grace they're saved. So, Lord, use this, even this sermon that kind of talks about the unity in the body. I pray that they would even have a craving to be part of something bigger than just themselves. So convict hearts. Help us, Lord, to think through these things even this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.